producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have a show today that will probably be quite controversial, as we'll explain in a few moments. Right now, read a piece this week at mysteriousuniverse.org from Nick Redfern. And the title kind of says it, The Roswell UFO, Hiatus or Change? And what Nick is saying basically is that we're reduced to arguing minute details, such as the provenance of the Ramey memo or the size of the crash area and minor alterations in eyewitness testimony, but nothing there is actually getting us closer to figuring out what landed at Roswell and what happened to whatever landed or crashed at Roswell. And that's it. None of this stuff is helping us get there. It's just a lot of nonsense, which is really filling time. But we're kind of at a point now where how do you get more information? We have, of course, the topic that shall not be named, the Roswell slides, where it had nothing to do with Roswell, even if it wasn't the body of a mummy. Point being here is that it sounds like we're just being desperate for new information, and how can we ever get new information about Roswell unless something is stuck in an attic somewhere?
Yeah, I just think it's just emblematic of what's wrong with the field of ufology. And the more time passes by, the more water under the bridge, the more that I'm coming to the realization that this field is probably going to die with the generation that grew up with it initially in the 50s. I just have a sense that there's too much muddying of the waters with the CGI and photoshopping of images and footage. There's too much reliance on the media to formulate our idealized view of what these craft, number one, look like, and number two, their performance characteristics, and number three, the reason why they're here and who's piloting them. Then I think that this is just, once again, and I think today's show is going to illustrate straight this point as well. I think that this whole field is on its deathbed, and unless we really are able to come up with new and different ways to gather hard data and interpret the data that we have gathered already properly, if there's, I don't even think that's even possible, but if it is possible, we need to be concentrating on new and different things. I absolutely agree with Greg Bishop that we need to end our reliance on collective thinking along these various subjects that I've just off the top of my head popped off. I think we need to become creative thinkers and really start thinking out of the box, because there is no hope. And I haven't read Nick's article, but based on your brief summary of it, I would absolutely agree. There's nothing to be gained out of flogging a horse that is so dead and rotten and in pieces by now and desiccated in the desert that, we're not going to get that old nag up and get her pulling loads again. There's just no way. And I'm getting more and more jaded and cynical as time goes on. And the more books I read, the more Facebook posts I see, the more TV shows that I observe with a jaundiced eye, it's pretty hopeless. And unless someone like a Ray Stanford can get his proverbial act together and summon up the whatever reserves of willpower and courage, or surmount whatever obstacles he's placed in his own way to get his information out there, I've almost had it with this whole subject. I really have. It's just so filled with pop culture misinterpretation and quasi-religious belief that it's I'm losing my interest in the subject pretty rapidly at this point.
Well, one of the things we should do is not talk about these old cases over and over again. Now, the other week we had Stan Gordon, who was a great guest, but suddenly he gets lost in Kecksburg again. And that case goes back, what, to the 1960s? And I don't know that there's really anything new about it. We can look over individual aspects of it and talk about the minute details all over again, but there's nothing new. It's the same old case. We could look back at any of the cases from the 50s and 60s, and it's the same situation. Rendlesham, maybe sort of, but I don't think a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, I think there is a real window of opportunity that needs to be utilized properly, I think, with any case. And the more time goes by, I think the less likely it is to really, you know, that you can really ascertain anything new and different about a case. And Roswell, of course, is the obvious example of just, you know, I consider a lot of these old cases red herrings to keep people focused on the right hand while the left hand is having its way. And I don't think enough work is being done to try to pierce the veil of secrecy behind the level of technology that undoubtedly exists somewhere in a covert way in the black world. And I really, it's such a hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor that unless somebody really comes up with something just bombshell, in the before mentioned Mr. Stanford, you know, I really do feel that he has something to share, but you know, he's got to do something, and he's got to do it fairly quickly because he's not getting any younger. So, you know, I think that again, this whole field is going to die a quick death. I equate it almost with, you know, in a similar way with what's happening on Native American reservations and in other indigenous cultures. As soon as this current generation of traditionals dies off, a major chunk of the cultures will be lost. And I think a lot of that can carry through when looking at the field of ufology, if ufology, I think, as many people now refer to it. I think the same is going to hold true there. And unless we get some real hotshot kids that are really digging and coming up with new out-of-the-box ways to approach the subject, I don't see it really continuing much longer, and definitely not in the form that it is now, with butts in the seats and conferences and book and DVD sales and that sort of thing. I just think that that paradigm is its time is over. And you know, I'm hoping that Mr. Jacobs or Dr. Jacobs today will maybe pull me in some sort of positive direction in my thinking. I just feel really down on the subject lately. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And if that you know, irritates some of our listeners, so be it. Come up with some way to change my mind. Get out of your armchairs. You know, start putting your thinking caps on and start coming up with some new and novel ways to approach the subject. You know, prove me wrong. And if you can't, you know, keep quiet.
Okay. Our guest this week is Dr. David Jacobs, and he has a new book out called Walking Among Us, The Alien Plan to Control Humanity. Oh, boy, this sounds pretty extreme, so we're going to find out what he's talking about here, but also painting the picture overall of his research and how he gets there. But there's one thing we're not going to talk about, and he's had this ongoing fight or battle with an abductee that he tried to help. One time, an abductee from the other side of the world. I will not mention that person's name because it opens a proverbial can of worms. I don't want to enter that door because it's useless. It's not going to get us anywhere in figuring out what's happening, whether UFO abductions does represent some kind of alien covert invasion or something else entirely. And as I said, this is a pretty extreme view of the situation. And we're going to ask some careful questions of Dr. Jacobs. Remember, he's been at this game for a number of years. He has a lot of people who support his methods. I just worry about conclusions like that. Yeah. Let me tell you one thing not to worry about. Our new lifetime subscription plan at the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. You get the After the Paracast podcast exclusive for Paracast Plus members. The ad-free version of this show. We got a video coming soon of the search for a hidden city in the vicinity of the Grand Canyon.
Whoa.
We'll let you know about that. So we want you to check it out. plus.theparacast.com. Dr. David Jacobs is joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash. It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Dr. David Jacobs joining us on this week's episode. We haven't talked with him for several years, so just want to see how you're getting along, Dr. Jacobs. I see you got a new book out that we'll talk about shortly. But before we do that, how does an historian get involved in UFO abductions?
You know, actually, there have been very few historians in UFO history who've been involved not only with abductions, but with the UFO phenomenon in general. So the answer is, I don't know. I got interested in the subject of UFOs sometime in 1965-66. I know that when my wife and I drove from UCLA, where we were undergraduates, to University of Wisconsin-Madison, I was already heavily, heavily imbued with the subject. And when I got there, I eventually joined the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, Jim and Coral Lorenzen's group. This is long before MUFON.
Well, I'll tell you something about APRO and Coral Lorenzen. I had a few, as they say, encounters with her that were not so pleasant, but let's go on.
Oh, is that right? They were extremely gracious to me as a student and all that, and when I did research in their files, actually. I subscribed to Flying Saucer Review, which was the best periodical in the world about the subject and all that, and that's all I thought about. Now, I wrote my master's thesis on the introduction of Freudianism, psychoanalysis, into the American psychological and psychiatric community between 1909 and 1929, all the while thinking about flying saucers while I was writing it. And then eventually I wrote my doctoral dissertation on the controversy over unidentified flying objects in America. And after I got my PhD in 1973, I just stuck with it. I stuck with UFOs all the way until I met Bud Hopkins in 1982, who introduced me to the abduction phenomenon, which I was not a great believer in, actually.
Okay, let me ask you about that. Let's make that connection here. Okay, until you met Bud Hopkins, you didn't necessarily accept abductions. What about working with him or associating with him made you change your mind?
Well, actually, there's a slight story that goes with this. We had a mutual friend, Tracy Torme, who was a UFO guy and is a Hollywood producer and writer now, and
sure.
He's the son of Mel Torme and all that. I was at a conference in 1981 where Bud Hopkins was going to give basically the first paper about abductions to a UFO organization. It was a conference put on by Alan Hynek. The question was, when Hopkins got up to give this paper, should I sit there and waste an hour of my life, or should I go in the hallway with my friend Marcello Truzzi and tell jokes? He knew every joke ever invented in the history of humankind. Truzzi was a professor of sociology at Eastern Michigan University. I went out in the hallway. I didn't want to hear that stuff about abductions. The following year in 82, Tracy Torme called me up and said that he wanted to talk with me in private. Nobody could listen, and it was all about government conspiracy. And we went to Central Park in New York City. And afterwards, after the talk, he said, let's go over to my friend Bud Hopkins' house. I said, no, Tracy, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to go there. You know, I'm not interested in that stuff. He said, oh, come on, come on, come on. He's a nice guy. You like him. He's a nice guy. I said, no, I got other things to do. He said, come on, come on. And he grabs a cab, and I said, okay. So we go over to his 8th Avenue and 16th Street, and I remember Tracy could not remember his address. We had to look at buttons, you know, bell buttons to find out where it was, and we found it. Hopkins is sitting underneath the doorbell. And he was, when I met him, he was gracious, intelligent. He had astounding art on the wall. Franz Kline and Hans Hoffmann and Mark Rothko and drawings by Cézanne and Renoir and Degas. It was just astonishing. He was an artist, which I did not know, and extremely intelligent, extremely gracious. And now it's time to leave. We spent about an hour there. It's time to leave. I was very impressed with him. We're standing in a little sidewalk area, leading to the sidewalk. And he says so to me, what are you doing this coming summer? And I said, well, oh, we just had a baby. And normally we go up to Bar Harbor, Maine, but it's too long in the car for the baby. So we're going to go to a little town in Cape Cod. This is a town that nobody ever heard of, called Wellfleet. He said, Wellfleet? He says, I own a house in Wellfleet. I spend every summer in Wellfleet.
Wow.
When you come up there, look me up. So we did that that summer, and it's been downhill for me ever since.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that he owned a house there, you know, so he could afford to do that.
Right. He used to live in the town just north of it called Truro. Then he had a house designed by a friend of his, and he bought it in Wellfleet.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got a friend that grew up in Wellfleet, believe it or not.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You know, here's a question I think that a lot of people who are familiar with your work, I'm not sure if they're really aware what your personal history is with the UFO phenomenon. For instance, besides maybe some sort of light in the sky that looked peculiar, have you ever seen an undeniable UFO?
The word is undeniable. I was at home in Madison, Wisconsin, and I got a call from a friend of mine who helped me with doing field work, you know, investigating UFO sightings in Madison. And he said, David, go on over to this certain park over by Lake Mendota, if anybody knows anything about Madison. And I check out there's something hanging in the air. So I went over there with my telescope, and I could see an object that was just stationary in the air that was not a balloon, wasn't a plane, it wasn't circular. It looked like it had a pointed bottom and a sort of square top, which does not look like which is not what UFOs look like necessarily. But that thing stood there for hours. I had other people look at it for hours and hours until a haze came around in the clouds and we couldn't see it anymore. And we called up the local airport and we called to see if there was any weather balloons in the area. And we never figured out what it was. I don't know what it was. But in fact, otherwise, I've never seen anything unusual in the sky before or since. And this didn't quite qualify for UFO because of its shape. It never quite conformed to the shapes that we've seen. So who knows?
Okay, let's go back, though, to your association with Bud Hopkins. How did that lead to your working on UFO abductions?
Well, Bud introduced me to abductees. Of course, I'd never met an abductee before. We started going through Wellfleet every year. And I started hanging around Bud's house, but he showed me how to do hypnosis. I sat in hypnosis sessions with him, both in Wellfleet and in New York City. And it was obvious after a while that this was serious business. However, it took me 4 years to start doing my own hypnosis with abductees. I didn't start doing it until 1986. So there was plenty of time for me to learn and plenty of time for me to absorb what the situation was and plenty of time with me to deal with Bud, who became my closest friend for almost 30 years.
Let's do our break now and get on with more of this. We have Dr. David Jacobs with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653. Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're moving right now into UFO abductions with Dr. David Jacobs, and he has a new book out, Walking Among Us, that we'll talk about shortly. But right now he's telling us about the early times he began to engage in hypnosis. Now, how did you get trained for this? I assume you just didn't read a book and try it, right?
Well, I sat in on Bud's sessions. I heard exactly what he was saying. I wrote down every word. I listened to the questioning. I did, in fact, read up on hypnosis and all that, and I did go to a little hypnosis conference, a convention that they had in Philadelphia. After 4 years of fooling around with this, Bud said, "Well, you're ready now." And he sent me a letter that had been sent to him by a woman in Philadelphia. And I contacted her, and she came over, and we were going to do hypnosis with an abductee, I thought. And she was 27 years old, and we decided that we would take a look at an event that happened when she was around 7 years older, so I can't exactly remember. And I wrote this up in Secret Life, a book I published in 1992. And I was nervous beyond imagination. I have never done hypnosis before, and I'd never been hypnotized before. And so I wrote out a sort of little standard spiel, so to speak, an induction on a 3x5 card, which I put in the palm of my hand so she wouldn't see it. I sat sort of a little bit behind her. She was on a couch in our living room. She was heavily into channeling, so she used to offer seminars for channeling, in fact. So she went into this, quote, trance, end quote, and which is a misnomer if there ever was one. I asked her all these questions about how she was 7 years old. She was she remembered leaning down and looking at a buttercup on the grass, that she was in a park. And then she felt arms around her, and it lifted her up, and she was brought into this UFO, and the guy who brought her in had a pageboy haircut, and she knew who he was. His name, she had named him Cosmo. They put her on a table and took her clothes off and did this to her and that to her and this to her and that to her. And there was a reproductive aspect that took place that she was extremely embarrassed to tell me about. And it got her off the table, and they walked down a hallway, and she met a small gray alien, and she was required to put her hands on the gray alien's head. She felt love and affection and warmth coming from him. They continued down the hallway then, and there was a council of gray aliens sitting around a table. And they said to her that she was going to grow up to be a beautiful, intelligent person and all that. And that made her feel good, I guess. And then they got her clothes back on and took her back. And I was thrilled with this. Oh, my God, I've done it. I've done it. I've done a hypnosis with an abductee. I called up Bud, matched notes with him. And had he ever heard of this? Had he ever heard of that? Et cetera, et cetera. And I was just, oh, I was thrilled. That night, I went up to my 8086 dual floppy computer, Zenith brand.
I remember those. I must be old.
So, and to transcribe what she'd said into it, you know what I mean? On DOS, of course, because there was no Windows or anything like that. And I thought that my little cassette tape recorder with its condenser mic would pick up every word she whispered. You could hear me on it. There was nothing at all coming from her, and it was gone. The whole thing was gone. I broke out into a cold sweat, and I thought, oh, my God, I've lost it all. I'll remember it. I'll just force myself to remember it. That, of course, is not possible. But she came back for another session, and another session, and another session, another session. And then after a while, after a couple of months, I said, Melissa, remember that first session we did? She said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, I had a little trouble with the tape recorder, and can we do that again? She said, sure. She's leaning over, looking at a buttercup. She feels arms around her, takes her up. It's Cosmo. He's got his pageboy haircut, takes her clothes off, puts her on the table, does this, that. She's there. There's a reproductive aspect. She's very embarrassed to tell me about. Gets her off the table, puts her clothes back on, takes her back.
Okay, I have one question to ask you before we go on.
Okay.
What business does Dr. David Jacobs have of hypnotizing people for such a sensitive matter without being a trained psychologist or a hypnotherapist?
Let me finish the story and you will understand.
Sure.
So I said to her, well, Melissa, remember the first time you told me about your walk down a hallway and you had this gray alien, you had to touch his head and you felt love and warmth? And she said, you know, I don't remember that happening. And I said, oh, what about when you went into this room with there was a council set up and you were going to grow up to be a wonderful person? She said, I think that happened to my friend Lynn, not to me. And I knew at that instant, Gene, that I had no idea what I was doing.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so that comes full circle then.
Yeah.
Right. And at that point, I realized I've got to put in a set of controls to never allow this to happen again as far as I can tell. And once I started putting in the controls and once I started being very careful, much more careful with my questioning, things began to regularize. Now, the question is this. How can I, some guy off the street, do hypnosis? Well, hypnosis is just about 1/1,000,000,000th of 1 millimeter from being totally fraudulent altogether, the way I look at it. It's just simple relaxation. All I do is I follow what Bud said in his inductions, just simple relaxing. Relax your arms, relax your legs, relax these muscles, relax those muscles. A little bit of deepening, and we're going to go down some steps to a nice place. And each time you'll feel more and more relaxed. And then I start asking questions. That's it. Takes about 10-15 minutes. People say to me, David, I don't think I'm hypnotized. And the answer I give them is, it doesn't matter. Lay back down. There's a little day bed that I have, and there's a coffee table. I sit on a chair. I say, it doesn't matter. Lay back down. And I keep asking the questions, and it doesn't matter. And they start remembering. And and my questioning is logical and chronological. I hopefully don't begin in the middle of a session, middle of an event. I start at the beginning if at all possible. It's all strictly logical. Even then, I have learned the role of confabulation. People will say things that are not true. They're not lying. They think they're true, but they didn't happen that way. And I've learned that conscious memories with no hypnosis are notoriously inaccurate and filled with confabulation. You have to remember, I've looked at about 1,150 different events with about 150 people over decades sometimes. Sometimes they come to me just once. And I've learned the problems of questioning, learned the problems of confabulation. Professional hypnotists cannot do this. And the reason they can't do it is because they know nothing about the abduction phenomenon and the problems with hypnosis, with abductions, and the fact that people aren't supposed to remember and all that. So the question is then, how can I do hypnosis? Well, I did it the hard way. I learned on the fly. I learned as we went along. And so after a while, I got a pretty good sense of how to do it and how not to do it and all that. My next project will be how to do hypnosis with abductees. My guess is that the audience for this kind of a book will be in the tens and tens, and therefore it'll probably be self-published. But I would like to, if at all possible, and here's a grandiose concept, standardize the abduction hypnosis system and essentially regularize it so that everybody's on the same page and confabulation is kept at its lowest and people know how to interpret answers to questions and people know how abductees speak of their experiences and they know where confabulation comes. I've got a list of the top 10 confabulated areas and things like that. And so it's something that I've sort of specialized in the last 20 years or so.
Let's go on with this, talking about the process of hypnotizing people who may have been abducted. More to come with Gene and Chris and Dr. David Jacobs. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution. There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
We
use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding. We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only, Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today, 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. Help. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, just to ask the other question here, Dr. David Jacobs, have you had the work you've done reviewed by professional therapists to see what they think about it?
Doesn't matter. They know nothing about the abduction phenomenon.
So the key is what you're saying, and this is the point that you've made here, is that when you handle people who may have been abducted, you can't use traditional methods. But that goes back to Barney and Betty Hill, because they were checked out by somebody who was a traditional therapist.
He had no idea what he was doing, by definition. He was a terrific Benjamin Simon, was a hypnotist for the Air Force. For the Army in World War II. He was an extremely well-known person and a great hypnotist. But by definition, because it was only the first one discovered in the United States, he had no idea what he was listening to or what questions to ask. For example, in that initial hypnosis event, Betty said that they stuck a needle in her navel, and she asked them what it was and why it was, and they said it was a pregnancy test. That is almost certainly not true. And the reason I know that is because it's never been uttered by any other abductee that I've ever worked with. Again, although that procedure, needle in the navel, is extremely common. That's one way. Another way I know is that these beings do not say what they're doing. People ask them all the time, why are you doing that? They remain silent. They don't give an explanation. Number three, we know there's no such thing as a pregnancy test. That is a non-starter. They know all about reproduction and pregnancy. It's what that procedure is most likely, and I can't tell for sure, most likely is the needle is actually going into one of the ovaries and it's taking out follicles from the ovary. And we've seen this a whole bunch of times.
Why the medieval level of technology? You would think some race that's able to come here from vast distances would have almost magical appearing technology that didn't involve invasive procedures. Like scoop marks. Why? All they need for genetic material is just a swab. Why do they need a little chunk of flesh, for instance? I've never been able to reconcile this.
We don't know anything that has to do with the so-called table procedures. We don't know anything that has to do with technology. We don't know any of that. Now, it's important. There's a bizarre way of looking at this, and that is that that the abduction phenomenon is either psychological, it's mentally derived, or it's happening. There's no in the middle. There's no being mistaken. Oh, I was wrong. You know, I thought I was abducted, but I wasn't. There's nothing being mistaken. You're either creating it or it's happening. If, in fact, people were creating it, we'd know all sorts of stuff about every procedure run on it, just like Betty Hill said. They would say things all the time about what we'd know, because there wouldn't be a concept of not knowing. They would ask questions and the aliens would answer. We'd have that all the time. And sometimes they wouldn't, but most of the time we probably would. In fact, nobody knows what these things are. Abductees have no idea what's going on during the table procedures. And the only thing I've been able to identify with a degree of certainty is sometimes they'll take an instrument and they'll run it across the bottom of a person's foot, and the foot will flex. And I think that's some sort of an examination, a testing of the foot flexing, a neurological situation.
How do we know that what they are remembering is a real physical event or some kind of thing they experienced mentally without a physical connection?
Well,
maybe just,
of course,
misinterpreting what really happened.
Right. If this were mental, what we would get is all sorts of different kinds of things happening to people. It would be idiosyncratic. That is to say, they would be saying things that related to their lives, to where they were born and raised, and every story would be different in profound ways. They wouldn't know necessarily all the procedures that are done, and of course, what people don't realize is that they are virtually never abducted to have table procedures. There's always other things that are going on, but we would have called that, we would have known that early on, and we wouldn't be talking right now. If there was the slightest chance that this was psychological, that wouldn't happen. Not only that, but there's a certain physicality to this that cannot be dismissed. People are physically missing from their normal environments when they are abducted. Police have been called, search parties have been sent out, children hunt for their parents, parents hunt for their kids, that sort of stuff. People return with unusual marks and scars and bumps and this and that on their bodies, scoop marks, whatever, that weren't there the day before. And the most dramatic example of this that I ever saw was a woman who I had done a session with one day, and the next day I saw her again, and she had 2 1-inch fully formed scars between her thumb and her forefinger on both hands that were not there the day before. I was looking at something that was physically impossible. And as I looked at it, I had to pick my jaw up off the floor, I must say. And there is that. Not only that, but people are returned sometimes wearing somebody else's clothes or their clothes on inside out. There's all sorts of people are abducted in groups, and they can confirm each other's abductions. Sometimes people run into each other and recognize each other from an abduction event that they were both on, and can confirm each other's abductions that way. They weren't abducted in that group, but they were there together. It goes on and on, the physicality of it. Without that, of course, you'd still be diddling with the mental stuff. But the main thing is, this is a global phenomenon. The United States is not the leader in the abduction world. It's not the leader of it. It goes around the world, and everybody says the same thing from what we can gather. Now, obviously, I don't know every single country. I don't know what's happening in, let's just say, North Korea. But I do know Brazil and Argentina and Chile, et cetera, and various countries in Europe and countries in Africa that I've done, people I've had abduction experience who I've worked with. And so it just, you know, it's everywhere, and it's in Japan and China who other people have worked with and that. And so this is not an American phenomenon. It's global. You have to keep that in mind at all times. And it's relatively new. We can date it back to the early 20th century with a high degree of certainty. We can date it back with a lower degree of certainty to the last quarter of the 19th century. But they've been doing this for most of the 20th century. It didn't start in 1947 when the Kenneth Arnold sighting took place and everybody got interested in UFOs and all that. So what that means is that these beings who are doing this are extremely serious about what they're doing, and the amount, and there's an enormous amount of time and energy put into this project.
Well, when you say you know that these events have been going on all the way back 100 plus years, how do we know that? Is that just anecdotal information gathered from sessions?
Well, I did sessions with people who were very young in the 1930s, and we did stuff. I did a couple of different regressions with people in the 1930s. Bud did a regression with a guy he had an abduction in the 1920s. I read a letter in Jim and Carl Lorenzen's files that was a typical abduction-level letter that took place in 1917 when the writer was 11 years old. And then I met three generations of abductees in Birmingham, Alabama at a conference, and they told me a story, for example, of their great-grandfather that had what might have been an abduction event in the 1880s or so as I said, it's less and less certainty as we go back. But once you get to the 1930s, there's a pretty good certainty in the 1920s that this was happening then. And the reason is it's an intergenerational phenomenon. That is to say, if a person is an abductee, their mother or their father or both were abductees. And the reason they were abductees is that their mothers or fathers or both were abductees and so on. Now, it had to start at some time, obviously.
Right.
There had to be a beginning date. We're not exactly sure of when that was. But even if you say the 1920s, even if you say the 1930s, it's a long time doing this globally, and they're not experimenting on us, as I originally thought many years ago. They're not learning about us. That's not a concept. They're not trying to...
It sounds like a monitoring program.
This is a program, you're correct in that way, that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's goal-directed. They're working towards a goal.
Let's go into the goal, but also a few other questions that occur to us as we progress, talking with Dr. David Jacobs on UFO abductions with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.